We ended off last time with the Chiddush of the Chumash Sadesh and Reish Mem Vav Kodel and Bechaber Kuf Tzadi Sif Aleph is a Yesh Omrim, that in a situation in which a woman experiences a Hargasha but she doesn't see any Dam, a Hargasha below Re'iyah, you have to be Choshesh that maybe there really was Dam and it disappeared, and therefore the woman is Tameya unless she does a Bedika and the Bedika yields a Mara Tahor such that you could attribute that Hargasha to the Mare Tahor. But if a woman were to do a Bedika and find nothing, then according to the Chumash Hadeshen, the woman would be Tameya because of the Hargasha, even though there was no Re'iyah. And we noted that the Darkei Moshe in Darkei Moshe questions whether the Chumash Hadeshen is correct, but he doesn't say anything in the Hasagos. And then we also noted the compromised position of the Radvaz, who was skeptical about the scope of the Chumash Hadeshen's Chumra, but bottom line, still acknowledges that there is a requirement for a Bedika, but he's more makel than the Chumash Hadeshen, and if that Bedika yields nothing, that the woman will be Tahor. According to the Chumash Hadeshen, you have to do Bedika, but as long as there's no Mara Tahor, she's going to be Tame, even if the Bedika is totally clean. You need a Mara Tahor to be to connect to the Hargasha. And according to the Radvaz, if there's a bedika and there's nothing, it's totally clean, then the woman is going to be tahora. That's what we left off with last time. The Piskei Tshuva in Simen Kuf Tzadi Sifkata and Vav discusses the following machlokes achronim, which may shed some light on the nature of this concern of hargasha below re'iyah. The situation is that, let's say a woman has a hargasha below re'iyah, and then she does a bedika on an aid with an aid she'eino badik. She does a bedika with a cloth that she didn't check beforehand to see whether there's anything on the cloth. So there's a possibility that there is a pre-existing stain or coloration on this cloth, on the aid, because she didn't check it before she did the bedika. So a woman has a hargasha below re'iyah, and then she does a bedika with an aid she'eino badik. And after the bedika, she finds both a mare tahor, as well as a mare tame pachos mikigris. So she sees a mare tahor on the bedika cloth, and she also sees that which would be a problematic mare color-wise, but if pachos mikigris, it's less than the shear, that would be problematic as far as hilchos ksamim. So the Piskei Tshuva quotes here, Sukkot and Vav, from the Tshuva's Givas Shaul. I don't know anything biographically about the Givas Shaul. I think it was an early Achron, maybe in Italy, but I don't know anything about him. But he quotes in the Tshuva's Givas Shaul that the woman is Tahora because she has the right to attribute the Hargasha to the Maratar. She can assume that the Maratameh was there before. It was an Eishein Abadik. She has the right to assume that the Maratame was there before anything happened, and the Hargasha yielded the Mare Tahor. So that's the position of the Givas Shaul, that if you do a Bedika following a Hargasha below Re'iyah with an Eishein Abadik, and then on the Bedika cloth you see both the Maratame and the Mare Tahor, Maratame Pachuch Nikigris, and a Mare Tahor, that the woman is Tahora, because you have the right to assume that the Maratame predated this situation, and the Mare Tahor was a product of this Hargasha that the woman experienced. And then the Piskei Tshuva quotes the Chavastas that disagrees, Chavastas in Sifkatan Lamed Zayin. And the Chavastas thinks that the woman is Temeya. Why does the Chavastas think that the woman is Temeya? Again, Kuf Tzadi Sifkatan Lamed Zayin. So he writes, Birgisha Shayatza Damim Kara Umatza Maras Tahoros Al Chaluka Vega Mara Ad Odem Lakuli Alma Eina Tole. Vatam, the rope psichas ha makor minashim lamaras tameyasein. the majority of situations where the rechem opens up yield a maratamen. So the likelihood is greater that if there was a hargasha, that there is a maratame associated with that hargasha. So he writes, V'cheinira, da'filu rasa al-ei chehu meluchlach bevadai mida maras taharos, temeya kishargisha. So even though she has an ei that's full of maras taharos, she's still going to be temeya with a hargasha. V'chein, afilu neva nixasa eid temeya. Even in a situation where she loses part of the aid, she has a bedikul koach, and part of it gets lost. Ve'eino tahora kishehergisha, rak kisheyodas bevirur shelo rasa le'aid rak maros tahoros. So the Chavis Das says, even in a situation in which a woman has a hargasha below riyah, she does a bedika, and then on the aid, she loses half of the aid, she loses half of the bedika cloth. On the remaining half, there's a mara tahor. So you don't know whether on the half that she lost, maybe there's a mara tameh, maybe there's a mara tahor, maybe there's nothing. Right? So if it's a mara tahor, then she should be fine. If it's nothing, she should be fine because there's a mara tahor on the half that she keeps. If there's a mara tameh on the half of the bedika cloth that she lost, Chavis Das thinks that would be problematic against the Givas Shaul. So in Akedei Kaf, even if you don't know, you still have to be choshesh that there was a Mara Tameh on the half that you lost. So again, according to the Givas Shaul, the situation is that a woman does a bedika, and she finds, after a Hargasha Bularia, she finds both a Mara Tameh and a Mara Tahor. So the Givas Shaul says, you could be Mekel, you could be Tola, the Hargasha, the Mara Tahor, and assume that the maratame was there from before is not connected to this hargasha. The Chavis Das argues, and the Chavis Das argues akadei kach, even in a situation lomibai, in that case where you see in front of you a maratame and a maratahor, they have to be machmir. Even in a case in which half of the bedikal cloth got lost, and you have the maratahor on the half that's left, and you don't know whether the half that got lost had a maratame or not, you still have to be choshesh that there was a maratame there, because rov situations of psichas harechem result in a maratame. So back to this Trumas Hadeshe, that you have to be choshesh in a situation where there's a hargasha below ri'iyah, that maybe there was dam that disappeared. So even in this situation in which, according to the Chavis Das, you lost half your bedikah cloth, and you have a maratahor on the half that's remained, you have to be choshesh that maybe the half that got lost had a maratame on it, even if you don't see it in front of you. So that's the extreme of the Chavis Das, that you have to be choshesh to that extent, that the way the Chavis Das seems to understand the situation is that the default presumption is that there is a maratame that was generated by the hargasha, and unless you can prove that there wasn't, unless you have a maratahor that you could be tola on without any maratame, you have to be machmer. Yeah, Yoni.
He says it's because of rove. Is that what we're going with?
He says, well, his starting point is that rove psicha samakor minashim lamaras tameyosein. Right.
Meaning, I suppose it's saying, like, samadoris lamah.
Correct.
And this also would only presumably work if you think the hargasha is psichas. If you have a core, because if the hargasha was like nizdazir begufa, then maybe you lose the robe?
Well, no, it could be nizdazir begufa as well. Maybe not ziva stavrolach. We'll talk about that in a few moments.
Okay.
So that is the Chavis Das. Now, what does it give us, Shaul, assume? That you could be told of the maratahor, you could be told of the hargasha and the maratahor, even if you know that there's a maratame as well. So in the Sefer Mereshes Moshe, he points out a comment of Rabbi Akiva Eiger in the Chidushim in the beginning of Haroah Kesem, Kiva Eger Nun Zayin of the Beis writes as follows: Ani mistapek the guf hadin the mavur b'tumah sadeshen the im lo masa klum the tameya. So that din of b'tumah sadeshen the bevadai rasa v'nevad. So in a situation in where she definitely had a re'iyah and then lost the re'iyah. V'imatza mare lavan d'tahora d'tlinan hargasha bazet. So in a situation in which there was a re'iyah and then you find a mare tahor, so then you can be told the argasha that mare tahor. Lo nisba'er, v'im lo badka rak chatzi ha'ed. Umatza alav mara tahora. So let's say you only checked half of the bedika cloth. It's not that you lost half of it. You have half a bedika cloth. You only checked half of it. You have a whole bedika cloth. You only checked half of it. And there's a mara tahora on that half. Im nachush ulai haya alamachsis asheni mara tmeya. So do you have to be choshesh? Maybe there's a mara tamei on the other half. Ubein an dafka bedika derech birur shelo haya rak mara tahora. So do we require that the bedika establishes that there is only a mara tahora? Okevan de efshar lemisli hargasha bezeh. So, are we just interested in finding a way of being tola the hargasha on the mara tahor, or do we have to establish with a certain degree of certainty that there's no mara tahor as well? I mean, once you have a mara tahor, can you stop there and say we have a taliya, or do you have to continue and do everything you can to make sure that there is no mara tahor as well? Meaning, is the purpose of this bedika to be mevarer that there was no dam tameh, or just to be able to be tola the hargasha on a mara tahor? Right? Nafkamina, in this case, where you only looked at half of the bedika cloth and you didn't look at the other half. So if there's a mara tahor, the half that you looked at, are you home free? Have you established that there's a mara tahor that you can be tola on? Or do you need to establish with more certainty that there's no mara tahor? That seems to be what's at play in this machlokas achronim, what to do in the situation where you have both a mara tahor and a mara tahor. So that might be the crux of the machlokas, the Givat Shaul and the Chavos Das. That's how the Bereshis Moshe explains it. Rabbi Forrest has a similar analysis as the Rabbi Forrest in Appendix C, at the end of Volume 1 of his book. And the Shari Tara has a similar analysis as well, that's what's at play in this discussion in Achronim. What is the purpose of the Bedika where you have a Hargasha below Re'iyah? As Yoni was alluding to, Chachmas Adam thinks Simin Kuf, or Klal Kuf Yigimel Os Aleph, Klal Kuf Yigimel Os Aleph, that the whole discussion here is only relevant, or if you're going to be Machmir in this Shiloh, like the Chavos Das, that's only relevant by Hargashas Psichas Pi Harechem, or maybe, as the Pesach Tshuva quotes in that same Sifkatan for the Chasam Sofer, maybe by Nizdaz the Guf as well. Chachmas Adam says it by Psichas Pi Harechem, and the Chasam Sofer is quoted as saying by Nizdaz the Gufa, but not by Zivas Davar Lach. By Zivas Davar Lach, everyone should agree that you could be tole on the Mare Tahor, on an aid she'eno baduk. And Ramosha's machmir even on that. Ramosha in Tshuva Ches Rabbi Eider thinks that this chumra would apply across the board, even by Zivas Davar Lach, because if you accept it, it's argasha. So argasha is argasha. It doesn't make a difference what the basis of the argasha is. Halacha l'maisa, this is not a terribly relevant scenario, because again, as we discussed last time, If we're talking about argashas, psichas, psiyamak, or argashas, nizdaz, agufa, that's not something that most that women experience nowadays. And even argashas, zivas, darbalach, which according to most achronim, is less of a concern, many don't experience. So the scenario of argasha below re'iya is not something that that is that much of a halachalmais consideration. Again, only relevant if a woman is the type that will experience a hargashas zivas davarlach. Now, if a woman does experience such hargashas zivas davarlach, and then tends to see maris taharos, meaning let's say a woman does have that sensation, and that sensation is often coupled with a Mara Tahor. So the Marsham writes in Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Pei Ches, Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Pei Ches, that a woman can establish a pattern that if a woman experiences a Re'iyas Mara Tahor in conjunction with a Zivas Davar Lach, then once she has that three times and she does the bedika that yields a mara tahor together with that hargasha zivas davarlach, then she doesn't have to be continuously concerned every time she has that kind of a hargasha. So Moshe writes along these lines in Os Tes, in his Tshuvas to Rabbi Eider. So Rabbi Eider asked him, if you have a woman that is used to having her gushes zivas davarlach, and then when she checks herself, she always finds a mara tahor, so can we advise a woman to be bodekes three times, to be maxic herself, that whenever she has that kind of a sensation, that's not nida, like this Marsham, and then she wouldn't have to do bedika every time she has this hargasha zivas davarlach. And is there a difference between doing that bimei tara and doing that even during Zayin Nikiyim or Mishas Avest? Marsham wrote that you can even do this during Zayin Nikiyim. So Moshe responds that a woman who has such a sensation as zivas davarlach and then always finds the mara tahor afterwards, so he says, you can only establish this connection if you check in different scenarios. Only if you check bizmanim shonim, bofanim shonim, I mean you check by yom, you check by laila, you check at work, you check when she's resting. So if you check three times when she's at work, three times when she's resting, three times in the day, three times in the night, so you check three times in every scenario, then that's enough to be maxikur as not needing to be concerned about this zivas davar lach, but that only works bimei tahara, and it doesn't work biyom havest. And if she establishes, and if she experiences these types of hargashos during Shiva Nikiyim, she'd have to have a separate chazaka of checking three times during Shiva Nikiyim to establish that correlation. So Moshe, in principle, subscribes to the Marsham's idea that you can be maxic yourself as not needing to be concerned about this hargasha zivas davarlach if it's always followed by a maratar. Moshe thinks that you have to check it in all the different permutations and scenarios in which you might experience a hargasha, morning, evening, work, home. Rabbi Morgenstern quotes from Rav Yashiv that Rav Yashiv didn't think you needed to go to that extent. Rav Yashiv held, just do it three times. It doesn't make a difference, morning, night, homework. If you do it three times, you're maxing yourself that there's always a Mara Tahor in conjunction with this Hargash Yisiv Rav Slavalach, and that is sufficient. Yeah, Gabe.
Does the
Moshe quote Marsham? Yeah, Rabbi Eider did in his question. The question was, can we assume like this Marsham?
I mean, do a fast, I can ask you
right. And then what are the parameters?
And is the Moshe saying you need to be mastic in each situation? Like I need to see three times at home and three times at work?
Yeah,
or
that's what he's saying.
All the three, I
no, no, no. He's saying you have to, I think that's what he meant, that you have to do it three times in every scenario. Yeah.
So every chazak is going to be local to that situation.
Right. Now, how are you managing all the different scenarios you need to take into consideration? I'm not sure. I mean, he says morning, evening, homework, or work, rest. But that's what Moshe said. And Rav Yashar didn't think that you need to go to that extent. Three times is enough, Yoni.
Was Rav Yashar mechalek between Bimei Tara, Vesta, Zayinikiyam, or just three times for all of them?
No, so I believe he's talking about Bimei Tara. I don't think he was addressing... B'shas HaVest is not going to help because you have to, if there's a Gush B'shas HaVest, that's a separate category.
Right.
I don't believe, I have to look back, I don't believe that Rav Yashiv was addressing Shivan Akim either. He was talking about Bimei Tara, but you can check back. Piskei Das, page 29. Rav Osner has an additional kula, which we'll see other applications of Bem Sheikh. Shevet HaLevi Chelik Beis Simen Pei Beis. Shuvah Shevet HaLevi Chelik Beis Simen Pei Beis. That for these purposes, you can rely on tight-fitting underwear to count as a bedika. Meaning, if a woman is wearing a tight-fitting undergarment, and she checks that after she experiences this hargasha sivas davalach, and there's nothing on the undergarment, so then that's the equivalent of a bedika. Meaning, if there was any, or if there's a maritahor, then that's the equivalent of a bedika. Rav Moshe didn't seem to subscribe to that. Rav Moshe in Os Yotzer Rabbi Eider sounds like that's not enough. You need to do an actual bedika. Yeah.
He holds that across the board, or not for this type of bedika?
We're talking for this kind of a bedika. Yeah.
There wouldn't be something like that in
general. No, that's not a bedika where you need a bedika. But here it's just to be machzik that there's a that this hargush is associated with the maritor. So for that purpose. Wearing a tight-fitting undergarment could be sufficient. Okay. Then one more marmaka before we move on. The Piskei Shuvah, the beginning of Kuf Pei Gimel, Sefkat and Aleph, quotes from a crazy placey, also the beginning of Simon Kuf Pei Gimel, that if a woman sees dam after a bedika, so then you have to be choshesh that dam is ba behargasha, and maybe the bedika masked the hargasha. So if a woman does a bedika, and then the bedika is clean, but 5 minutes later she sees a kesem, and you would have invoked kulas ksamim. But if it's on the heels of a bedika, so you have to be choshesh that dam was above hargasha, and the bedika masked the hargasha. I guess we may come back to that in a different context as we go on, but just to note that marmakom for now. Yeah, Michael.
How soon after the bedika does she need to see the
chesem? Not so clear.
I think in terms of the Merig line when Friday Shulchan says like 5 seconds.
By Archa Tashmish is Esyom, which is relatively immediately. We have to forget exactly how immediately that is. Badr Shulchan says 5 seconds by...
Rishon is like 30 seconds now.
It's somewhere around there. It's a short amount of time. Okay. So now we'll move on to Simon Kuftzadi for real and Hilchos Ksamim. So it's clear from the Gemara that you've seen already that even though Min HaTorah, a woman is only a nida if she sees Dam, the Hargasha, but Dam below Hargasha is going to be Tameya / Asura Midrabanan. But nevertheless, there are certain kulos that exist by Ksamim that we'll talk about. Kula of Pachos speaking, Grisvaod, Kula of Tzvonim, Kula of Eino Mekabel Tumah. Why is it that there is such a Gzeir Drabanan of Samim? So as we already referenced previously, the Rashi on the top of Mutesim and Aleph, Dilma Argasha Lovadait. According to Rashi, the concern is that maybe there was a mass Targasha, maybe the Dam really was the Hargasha, and we missed the sign of the Hargasha. So because of that concern, Atu, the Daraisa of Dam Bahargasha, Chamer Gozer, even below Hargasha, Tumas Ksam. But according to Rashi, in principle, if you were able to ascertain with certainty that there was no Hargasha, there wouldn't be a need for the, in theory, there wouldn't be a need for the Dindrabanan of Tumas Kesem. However, Tosfos, Dibur Maskil, Moda disagrees. Enira da filu muksakla shalor gisha temeya halverasa dam nidus. That even if you know full well that there's no Hargasha, she's still going to be temeya midirabana. Now, that doesn't preclude the possibility that even according to Rashi of Argashav Lavadaita, that once the Gzeira was established, it was established across the board. Theoretically, even if you knew that there was no Hargasha, once there was a Gzeira, it could apply even to that situation, even if the reason was Dilma Argasha Vilav Adaita. The Rambam writes in Perek Tes Yisurei Bia Halacha Beis, Halacha Aleph, he tells us what's nida deraisa b'hargasha. Halacha Beis, midivrei sofrim shekola roa kesem dam al b'sara o al bigadeha afa pishelo hirgisha v'afa pishel badka atzma v'lo matzadam harezu temeya uki'ilu matzadam lifnim b'b'sara. We treat it as if it was real dam nida bibsara. V'tumazu b'safek shema kesem zeh midam acheder ba. And this is b'safek because we're concerned that maybe this is really dam min ha makor. Says the Kesem Mishnah here, kashali ahave sex fekahu Havalele Mishri. In Hilcha Safek, the Rambam tells us, so what's the concern? Safek, maybe it's Dam Minarechem. But in Hilcha Safek, why should that bother us? Say it's a Svek Sveka. Safek Migufa Ba, Safek Shalom Migufa. We don't know where the Dam came from. The Imtim Shalom Migufa, Safek Minacheder, Vitame, Safek Minali, Vitar. So number one, maybe it came, we don't know if it came internally or externally. We don't know if it came from a macholes or it came from inside. And even if it came from inside, maybe it came from the recha, maybe it came from the prosder, in which case it would be dam tahor. V'yishlomar da'afal pikei nechmiru bo chachamim mishum de'iser chamerhu. So answer number one is that in principle, in Hilchos Sex Veka, that should have been the case, but we're extra machmir because we're talking about a chashash kares. The odish lomar, shemeachar she'ein la davar litlos bo, hichmiru chachamim lobar, dahavi ki'ilu hu migufa vadai, ve'en kan ela safik echad, ve'efshar shel zenis gavar mebeinim. That it's not a real legitimate sex veka, because it's highly unlikely that it came chutz migufa. The only real suffix is, did it come min a cheder, min a prasdar? But it's unlikely that it came from the outside absent a hard tliya. The Efshir, Yizem, is Kavim Rabbeinu, when the Rama writes, suffix, shema, kesem, zemi, dam, a cheder, but that's the only suffix. We're not really nistapik whether it's chutz migufa. The only suffix is whether it came in a cheder or whether it came min ha prasdar. The Taz in Kufsadi Sikatan Beis is bothered by the same Svek Sveka question. And he says, Yeshlomar, Tikeben de Rov Dam Sheyose Mea Isha Shein La Maka Asi Mimakor Lo Nechshav Zeh L'Safek Klal. So the Kazimisha says that it's not really a legitimate sex feka because the tzad that came from outside the body is unlikely. And the Taz says, it's not a real sex feka because the suffix, the tzad that came in a prosdor is unlikely. Because any dam that comes internally is much more likely to be dam min harecha. So it's not a suffix hashakal. And the Tosafot Shlamim doesn't like that comment of the Taz. Tosafot Shlamim in Sifkatan Aleph. It says, L'nuyas Daiti, Nira, Daitayim Adavi Sex Veka, Mishum De Israelan Ruba. So there's a Reyes and the Rov. Kevin the Rov Nashim Einan Roos Machmas Tashmish Mimakor Lachain Have Svek Sveka Gamur. Okay, that's going on the Kufi Zayin issue. Sorry, that's not. Forget. Hold off on that for now. Aitai Machash of Hacha Gamkin Svek Sveka came in the Rov Nashim Margishin Ba'atman in Roastam Isole Ruba Have Svek Sveka Gamur. See, things? No. That it might be true on some level what the Taz says, that Rov Dam internal is Minarechem, but that's only true if it's Rov Dam Haba Bargasha. So Rov Dam Haba Bargasha is Minarechem, but once it's not Haba Bargasha, then all bets are off. Then you don't have enough of a sample to comfortably say that it's likely Minarechem, and then you're back to your standard Svek Sveka, and then you have to come back onto the Kesem Mishnah, either that we're unduly machmir because we're talking about a safek kares, or we're minimizing the tzad safek that it's chutz migufa. So Torah Hashem is skeptical how much stock you can put into the rov of the taz, a rov dam that comes min aisha is min arechem, because that's only rov dam above argosha, not rov dam in general. So he falls back on the Kesem Mishnah. The Aruch HaShulchan raises the following question of the Kesem Mishnah in Sif Dalid. He says, really, we should have viewed this as a triple suffix. That number one, maybe the dam is chutz migufa. Intim slumber is migufa, maybe it's dam mina prosder. And even if it's min arechem, maybe it's shelo bahargasha. That's what you should have said. Maybe it's three levels of suffix. Maybe it's from outside the body. If it's inside, maybe it's from the aliyah. Maybe it's from the prosdor. And even if it's from the rechem, maybe it's shelo bahargasha. So he says, the reason the Kesem Mishnah didn't present it as three sveikos is because once you have dam mina rechem, So then the presumption is that that dam is ba hargasha, and maybe the hargasha was masked. So it's really only two sveikos. If it's internal, is it min arefem or is it min ha prostar? But then he says that really, really, if you knock everything down, then if you accept what the Ta said, that we're not, if you accept what the Kazavisha said, that we're not really concerned that it came chutz migufa, and the only real suffix is whether it's min arefem or min aprosdar, so that really should just leave you with the single suffix of sveka deraisa l'chumra, and that's how you end up with chumras ksamim. So bottom line, either, as far as the sveka question, either you minimize one of the svekos, you can minimize the likelihood that it's chutz migufa, you can minimize the likelihood that it's min ha-aliyah in the body, or if you want to stick by the Sfek Sveika, then you have the Kesef Mishnah's first analysis that even if it's klali safek, you shouldn't be makel, but because we're talking about a chashashki of kares, we're machmir beyond that. Yeah.
That Rav Hashem seems like Rashi, it's that there be no iser ksanim if you can prove with certainty there is no argasha, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So Tosus, there wouldn't be steak.
I'm sorry?
So for Tosus, there wouldn't be the triple safek.
Right. I mean, again, that's his starting assumption, which he then whittles down. But yeah.
So if it's based on suffix deraisa l'chumra, so mm-hmm. then putting it around by the sides, that
right.
some of them should be deraisa.
Not every. So not necessarily. Even if you assume that suffix deraisa l'chumra is a din deraisa. But that still may devolve to a that still may devolve to a din derabbanan, meaning min ha Torah you have to be makir in a situation of safek ana deraisa. But the details of how we are makir that may still be derabbanan. So you still have the right, the Rabbanon will be magdir, that there's still certain carve-outs and still certain kulas. That we don't have to, that built into the system are these carve-outs of kulas ksam. Jesse.
I was wondering if the Kesavishna brings up like alternative areas where he would apply this sake of falling short in a field card situation. I mean, he's like, it's fine to follow, like, he's ready to apply that to, like, across the world, we ignore space take out when any of cars kicks in.
You'd have to see what the other test cases are. He says it here. He's explaining why we are gozer some of the Rabbanan. So you have to figure out what the other models would be and whether we say it there. Yeah.
I think there's Chakra said in the Shir that the Drashan Amnon Chasan made in the Mishnah Dam Lo Kesem.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
it
would have been would have been a
din
deraisa if not for this drasha.
That really, kesem would have been a din deraisa if not for dam below kesem. And why would it have been a din deraisa?
Because suffix
deraisa l'chumra.
I think I must have misunderstood
what you said. So you have a concept that tells you that here you don't say sveka deraisa l'chumra.
I think that's very sad. I could look.
Okay. Okay. The Ravid in his Hakdama to Shaar Ksamim in the Bali Nefesh. In this, I think they print the Bali Nefesh in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, but the nice new annotated edition was published by Rabbi Ephraim Buchwald of Bnei Brak, not to be confused with Rabbi Ephraim Buchwald of Lincoln Square and NJAP. although Rabbi Ephraim Buchwald of B'nai Brak did write an article in the Armada Journal a number of years ago. So in his, so that's, if you want the good edition of the Bali Nefesh, that's where to look with the very nice footnotes. But if you just have this for now, so the Raivin in his Hakdama to Shar Tzomim quotes the position of the Rav Av Beis Din, that Ksamim are not Noheg Bizman Hazeh, because Ksamim are only relevant to Taros. Vareini Niskak Tchila Laosan Sha'omim Sheina Ksamim Noegim Bizman Hazeh. Just like the din of Ne'es La'es, the sugyas in the beginning of Nida, that a woman has to be Choshesh's, the woman has to be Choshesh's Ne'es La'es retroactively, that she was Tameya, that halacha is only relevant for Taros, that's not relevant Lebaila. So just like that din of Ne'es La'es is only relevant to Taros, the halachas of Ksamim are only relevant Lataros as well. And the Ravid asks three questions on the Rav Av Beis Din from three different sugyas. Number one, from the Gemara in the Testament Aleph, that lo amru Ksamim lahakel divrei Torah, ela lahachmel divrei Torah, that Ksamim are meant to impose a chumrah, a siag. That sounds like we're talking about Iser Nida Labaila there. It sounds like that's not just a Taros context, but that's a Yisrael Labayla context. Number two, the Gemara Nun Beis on the Beis that evokes Ksamim in the context of Korban. That also sounds like that's a Labayla context. And number three, the Gemara Nun Ches on the Beis that we'll get to a little bit later, as far as the Karvat of Macholes, of the Dvarai Ein Kates, Shein Lecha Isha Shetahora Labayla, that if you're not going to allow for Kulas Ksamim by Pachos Mikigris, by Yashir Macholes, so you're creating difficulty of how could a woman be Tahor Labayla? Every bed in the world has Macholeses. So obviously that's talking about a Heter Labayla. So how can you say that Ksamim is only relevant with Taros and not Labayla? So those are the kashas that the Ravid asks on the Rav Av Beis Din, and the Ramban as well, the Ramban in Yud Testament Beis, Chidushi Aran and Chesam and Aleph, they ask on the Rav Av Beis Din as well. Tshuvas Chasim Sofer, Simon Kuf Pei Beis. Chasim Sofer is Simon Kuf Pei Beis, quoted in the Piskei Tshuva, Simon Kuf Tzadi, the end of Sifkat and Yud. Simon Kuf Tzadi, the end of Sif Katan Yud. So you can look at it together if you have the Pesach Yeshua in front of you. I am a Shuvas Chasin Sofer, Shekasav. I'm skipping a little bit. Yeah, the first part of this we'll get to, if not today, the next time. He says, "Tchilas gzeras kesem haya mishum chumra detaras." That the impetus of gzeras ksamim was because of taras. V'lo plug rabbana. However, once it was established the inyan taras, there's a low plug. V'timu asa gam lebaila. Once we established ksamim letaros, then we also invoked it Labaila. Shelo tiyachucha ha'isha tmei nida letaros etar Labaila, because that would be an absurd reality that you have women who bifurcate and are considered to be tmeios leintaros but taharos Labaila. The cave and chenes are b'minyan alpha pisha batal tam taros mikol makam agzera lo v'tela v'yadainos u Labaila. So historically speaking, the Chasam Sofer says that, yeah, the origin of Ksamim, the Chumra of Ksamim, was in Hilchas Taros, but once it was established in Hilchas Taros, by extension it applied Labaila, And even when we remove the taros component, but the issur labayla remained. And that'll answer the kasha from Daf Nun Ches on the Rav Beis Din, that so the Rav Beis Din himself would have held that no, once Gzeiros Ksamim, once Taurus isn't knowing anymore, then it's not knowing Levaila either, but at one point in history it was knowing, whatever it was knowing Taurus, it was knowing Levaila as well. Chaim Sofer is saying for himself that historically, even if we don't accept the Rav Beis Din, but there's some truth behind that position. The Rabbi Bezim would say that there's no Hilchus Samim nowadays at all. There's only Lataris. So that may be true halfway, that the impetus for the Gzeira was Lataris, but even when Taros falls off, it still applies Lebaila. If you look at the Aruch Lener, the Aruch Lener tries to get out of the various kashas that the Rav and the Rishonim ask on the Rav Beis Din, and somehow finesse the Gemaras that the Gemaras that seem to be talking about Labaila are really talking about Lataris. And the Aruch Lener says as well that the Rif in Hilchos Nida, in the end of the Gemara Shavuos, the Rif, he says, holds like the Rav Beis Din because the Rif has no discussion of Dinei Ksamim. So the Aruch Lener says, must be because the Rif held like the Rav Beis Din, and Hilchos Ksamim is not Lemaisa when we're not Noheg Taurus. But what the Chasam Sofer basically assumes is that even the Rishonim that argue on the Rav Beis Din accept the logic to a point. I mean, Evan will agree that historically the basis of Gzeiros Ksamim might have been Taurus, and then it was extended Lebaila because otherwise it would have been a Chuch of Tlula. But even when we're not knowing Taurus anymore, we still preserve the Lebaila application of Hilchos Ksamim because it's Davar Shebe Minyan and it's still on the books. But that'll be relevant, as we'll see, if that's your perspective on Hilchos Ksamim, then the details of Ksamim may be much more stuck in time. So we'll talk a little bit later about the Shir Macholas, Macholas Shel Zmanenu, how do we evaluate Macholas. So if the whole Gzeiros Ksamim was established at a certain time in history, so that may be more relevant in preserving those details based on that point in history where the Gzeira was initiated. And then maybe that's more of a reason to follow the Shir or Zmanayim when it comes to Macholas, as we'll see. Yeah.
What is Macholas?
Okay, we'll get there. Call it a louse for now.
Right.
But, okay. So, with that Abdama, but we'll see that along the lines of Chazon Sofer, even if we don't accept the Rav Beis Din per se at face value, but there, in the details in Ksamim, a lot of it may be Taros based, and some of the carve outs are rooted in halachas that are more firmly Taros based. Okay, so the Gemara, the Mishnah, and Nun Ches Amud Beis has a machlokas Tanayim regarding Tliya b'Macholas. So the Mishnah says, Harga Macholas, Harezu Toliba. So if a woman kills a Macholas, she could be tola, that the kesem that she sees, the dam that she sees, was from the squished Macholas. Akama tola. So how much, what volume of blood can you reasonably be tola in a Macholas? Ebi Chanina ben Atiglis Omer, Ad Kegris shall pull up to that size bean. The Alpha Pishalo Harga, even if she didn't actually kill the Macholas. Says the Gemara, and the two dots a few lines into the Gemara, Harga Macholes, so the Mishnah, the title of the Mishnah says, she killed the Macholes, then she could be Toleh. Harga Inlo, Harga Lo, so it sounds like it's only if you actually kill a Macholes that you could be Makel on a Dom the size of Macholes. Masisa Mother Shingam Lielhi, Ditanya, Harga Tola, Lo Harga Inatola, Divrib Shingam Liel. Shingam Liel says you only have the right to be Tola if you actually kill the Macholes. Chama say no, even if you didn't kill Macholes, you can still be Tola. Amr Shingam Liel, Lidvarai Ein Kates, Lidivre Chaverai Ein Sof. Lidvarai Ein Kates, She'elacha Isha Shetor Labaila, She'elacha Komito Mita, She'ein ba kama tipe dam macholas. So Rishon Gamliel self criticizes, if you will, or self evaluates that if you hold that you could only be tola if you actually kill a macholas, then a lot of women are going to be in trouble because there are all these macholas around everybody's bed. And it's likely that you're going to have dam, that's really from Macholes, that you won't be able to be told on the Macholes if you didn't actually kill the Macholes. L'divre chaveray ain't sof. And if you hold the chachamim, that you could always be told that. Ein lecha isha she'ein atar levayla. She'ein lecha kol sadin sadin she'ein bokamati pedam. The other direction, you'll always be able to be mekel. If you can be mekel, even below harga, so then every woman who really has a kesa that's bigufa will be able to be told on a macholas. Aval near and divrei b'chanina menatibnos midivarai divrei hem. Shaya omer akami hitole ad kigris shel pol. That according to Chachamim, it sounds like he hitole even a larger shear, and that's hard to deal with. But chanina menatibnos says he could be tole even below harga, but only up to a shear gris. Ula divarav anumodim. And then the Gemara says, according to the Rabbani, you can be told even more. What's the maximum shear? Tola b'pishvish v'ad ketormus, which will come back to it. So 3 days in Tanaim here. Is it tliya b'macholes only b'harga? Is it even below harga, even more than the shear macholes? Or is it only even low harga, but only up to a shear gris, which corresponds presumably to the Macholes. What is a macholes? As Yoni sharply asked, the Gemara on Nida, the Gemara Daf Yutasa Mebeis has a statement of Ze'iri towards the bottom that, in the context of Dam Nida, distinguishes between a macholes shel rosh and a macholes of kol haguf. So two types of macholes. Is the macholes of record for dam nida purposes is a macholes shel rosh. It sounds like that's a louse. That's a kind of bug that hangs out in the hair, which should be a louse. And that's a lashon of the mechaber in Sif Hei. The mechaber says kina. Right? He doesn't say macholes. He says kina, which is a louse. However, Nakamar Daf Yud Tesamid Beis, the Rashba, the Ramban, the Ritva, they all say that Nakamar is only according to Ze'iri, and presumably they're bothered because our Gemara that we just read says Eilecha Kol Sadin Sadin. She'embo kama tipe dam, presumably from macholes. So if it's a louse, then why are the lice that are in your hair all over the sheets? But either way, I think we generally assume that a macholes is a louse. What's more relevant is what the shear macholes is, and we'll get to that. But what does seem to emerge, excuse me, what does seem to emerge from this machlokas tanaim is whether the tliya v'macholes is a conventional tliya, or is it a broader carve out from hilchos ksamim. The conventional tliya, so the tliya that we have in the Mishnah here of shokshal tabachin, this asking ksamim, that if a woman is walking through the marketplace, where walking through the shlacht house, and dam is splattering all over the place, and she sees dam, that could be attributed to the dam shchita. Or if a woman is holding, is this askav eksamim, so she's handling bloodstains, then you can attribute it to that dam. So classic taliyah is if the impetus for the taliyah is there, now what you can attribute it to is the fanena, then you can attribute it. If it's not there, there's no attribution. So is macholes a standard attribution? If there's a macholes that you might have killed and squashed, you can attribute the dam to that, and if not, not. Or is there somehow a broader carve-out that dam, this shear, is excluded from the din of ksamim? Zeres ksamim didn't apply to pachos mikigris, and therefore, even if they're lo harga, and even if there's no macholos lefanenu, you could still be megal. And that's essentially the modified position of Chanina ben Antignos, that even lo harga, you have the ability to be mekel. So if you're going to be mekel below harga, it sounds like that is something beyond a standard taliyah. Rabbi Carr points out, it's a little mashma that way in the Rambam also, Perek Tes Halacha Vav, Perek Tes Halacha Vav, Ma bin kasav nimsal basara l'kasav nimsal b'gadeha. Kasav nimsal basara ein lo shir. A nimsal abeged ein amatame ad shia kigris ha kliki. Shumaruba sheish b'kadei teshadashas, etc. with the shiris. So Rambam tells you that if you have a kasav al abeged, it's only natame if there's a shir gris. It doesn't say anything about macholas. There's no connection to macholas. It's not if you have a macholas or if it corresponds to a macholas that's around, you can be meko. No, absolute carve out. If it's less than a shear gris, then you have kulas ksam. He does acknowledge that later on in Halacha Kaf Gimel, the Rambam does mention tliya b'macholas. But that still could be an additional, you know, to have the blanket carve out of Pachos Mikigris. And that's the standalone din of Tliya B'macholas, where there actually is a Macholas. You have to figure that out, but at least that's perhaps noteworthy. That the first time the Rambam introduces Kulas Ksamim in Halacha Vav, there's no mention of Macholes, just of the Shear Gris. If that's the case, Rav Osner points out in the Shear Shevet Alevi that you have to minimize the Lashon of, or de-emphasize the Lashon of the Mechaber. The Mechaber writes in Sif Hei, Kozman she'embo kazashir anu tolin lomar dam kinahu afish loharga al kashesh ba kazashir ein tolin bikina. So the Mechaber uses the term of talia. Rav Osner says you have to de-emphasize that term. He doesn't necessarily mean it in the classic sense of a talia that's only attributable if you have the actual cause in front of you. After all, we're makel even if lo harga. And Rabbi Karp also points out, yeah.
Lo harga could be slightly different in the sense that we know that the macholas was in the room. We just didn't kill it ourselves, but we know that it was there.
Uh, So you're saying that the fact that we would be mekel below harga, if you know it's there, doesn't necessarily mean that you could be mekel even if you didn't know it's there. But it doesn't sound like you even know that it's there per se. Avishal Harga doesn't say it was there in front of you, you just didn't kill it. You don't know if there's a machalas there per se. You know, the only thing that you can firmly identify is, did you kill it? Did you kill a machalas? If you didn't kill a machalas, maybe it's there, maybe it's not there. It doesn't say that it's only Kedubel Itol if there's a machalas in front of you.
If we know you didn't kill it,
then who cares if it's in the room or not? If we know you didn't kill it, then why should it matter if it's in the room or not? Meaning, so if you want to argue a svara, you could say that, well, if it's here, so then it's more likely that you did kill it, even if you didn't know that you killed it. But lemaisa, that's not, meaning lo harga is, you lav dafka know that it's there. Okay, Rabbi Karp also points out Lashon HaRavid. So the Rambam that we just saw said that we're Mishar based on a Gris HaKliki, and that's the Shir Gris that we have in Hilchos Negayim in Perek Vav Mishnah Aleph. And the Ravid writes in Sharak Samim Os Kaf Aleph. Ravid writes, it's Oth Kafalif in Rabbi Buchholz edition, that Misharin Bechol Pol Sheyizdamilo, that you could evaluate the gris based on whatever bean you have, Vafilu Hu Gadol, even if it's a big bean, Shari Amru Kol Sheyurei Chathamim Lahachmir Chuz Mika Gris Shel Ksamim Lahakim. So the Ravid says that you don't have to go based on the gris hakliki, you go with any gris that you have. So it sounds like we're not looking for the size of your macholas either. That built into Gzeres Ksamim is that if it's pachos mika gris va'od, then there's no tumas ksamim. And you can evaluate that based on whatever gris you have, irrespective of the size of a macholas. And the Rabban writes that as well in Perek Dalid Hilchos Nida Lachadalid, that the Shear Gris by default is Kigris Akliki, or Kilki, but if you have a bigger gris, then you can be Mishar based on the bigger gris. And that's essentially what the Mechaber writes in Sifei, that Lo Gazer Al Akastam Elim Yeshbo Kigris Vod, the Shear Gris. Who ketesa dashim shira dasha gedalit saros v'chol zman she'im b'kazas shira anatol and lomer dam kinahu the end is dami lo gris yoser godam izah hashir misharin bo. And if you have access to a bigger gris, then the default size you can be mishar in that as well. Why is that? So the Taz writes sivkat advav darminan de efshir deyesh kina yoser gedola. Maybe there's a bigger kina around, but maybe not. Maybe that's just the nature of the carve-out, is that you have the right to be tola on anything less than the size of a gris, and whatever your gris is, that was carved out from the Zeres Ksamim, even if it doesn't correspond to the shear of your local macholas. So Yoruch HaShulchan makes that point in the Taz, in Se'if Kaf Vav, that the sheer gris doesn't need to correspond to the local macholas. Yeah, good.
I mean, gris is like a bean?
Gris is a bean. A kind of a bean.
If you don't say like the taz, why would it be that you can use the larger size bean?
Because the nature of the carbon of chazal was a gris. So whatever gris is, that's the shear.
And it's just a flexible, meaning within range, but it's a flexible.
Right, whatever you're, again, how do you know what a gris is? I don't know, but if you know what a gris is, then whatever your local gris is subject to this carbet.
We like bioengineer a really big gris.
First figure out what a gris is, and then we could talk about it.
Needs a bean.
I'm sorry? Okay. So Rav Moshe writes, Yoredeya Chela Gimel Simen Mem Vav, Yoredeya Chela Gimel Simen Mem Vav, paragraph beginning Ule Inyan. He says, as he quotes the Chasam Sofer, that everything is nikba based on the time that we were noheg taros, and the shear macholas should be based on that as well. Says Rav Moshe, Mashem Bidvarav, she'im haisa gzera b'shvila iser l'bayla, haisa asur b'zmanas evit pachas mika gris. The Chasam Sofer sounds like the reason that we still preserve the shear gris is because it corresponded to the size of a macholes in the time of Chazal when they were makbid on Tyros. And Davar Shem Minyan, so you can't tinker with it. So he says it sounds like from the Chasam Sofer that if the Gzeir would have been independent of Tyros, if Chazal would have been Gozer, summon, originally Labaila, then nowadays the shear gris shouldn't necessarily be significant. Oh, Imayagam is Manasa in Yintairos, Haisa Sura, Avshabaloshin Agzera Namar Kigris Dafka, Neyakar Datam Shaasu Bashir Kigris, Ikav is Manasa, Af Al Pachos. Or maybe you take the Chasam Sofer the opposite direction, that if there's a reason to reevaluate the shear gris based on contemporary macholuses, so then maybe she'd be a sura for Tyrus purposes with a smaller shear. Well, in the Yastaiti, says Rav Moshe, Pasha Shalo Asur. Shalo Amru B'Gzeirasam called Tibas Dam. Shiyafsha litlos tameya. Chazal didn't say that any tipas dam that's not attributable to another source is tameya. Ela amru shir sheimke nimsa shashir dam kegris asru mishvilatam dimigufo asu afshel ergisha lachem bepachos mikegris lo asu below hergisha afshel yugam in yataras mizmanazeh afshel kegzera haisa levaylam. So Rav Moshe doesn't think that the equation of the Chasam Sofer is necessarily correct, that the whole, irrespective of whether the impetus for the Gzeira was Taros or Labaila, Chazal goes there, that the Shear Gris is operative. And that may be irrespective of whether that corresponds to a macholas bizmanenu or not. So as far as that question, how much do we need to be concerned in evaluating these shiurim, what the size of a macholas bizmanenu is? So in the Tshuvas Mil Tztaka, that's the later Achonim quote, Mil Tztaka lived in the late 1600s. He passed away at a very young age, at the age of 34. So Mil Tztaka, Siman Kaf Zayin, writes, Hinei Niskashisi B'Shi'urim, B'Shi'uram, Kiyala L'Shi'ur Gadol Yoser, So the shear gris ends up being much larger than the shear of a crushed louse. No louse in 1690 or whatever is going to spread out the shear of a gris. Al kol zeh nirali ki kol midas chachamim kainhu ve'afshar ki liyos ba'osan hazmanim kol hashiurim yoser gadol lefi erech hanashim ozan hazmanim. So maybe niskanu hashiurim, maybe just like people people sizes changed, lice sizes changed. The alkol zel lo nishtanu gam is man zeh shiurim ki lo yisag zeh rosa bela shiur gazeh. So even if you don't find a contemporary louse the size of a gris, kach gozru, that is the shiur of record. And if you assume that, as we've been developing, that the shiur of a kigris v'od is not a regular taliyah, but that's a carve-out, so then that makes more sense, that whatever the carve-out was, whatever that shiur was, exists irrespective of its correspondence to a contemporary macholas. So Rav Moshe, for example, assumes as the Davar Pasha in the Tshuva we just mentioned, that even nowadays the shear kesem is kigris, and even if you know full well that there's no macholas, and even if you know full well that it came migufa. Right, like the Taras HaShlomim that we spoke about last week in Kuf Pei Gimel, that even if you have Dan Bahargasha, a Dan below Bahargasha, that you know Vada Kedi Gufa Pachas Kigris, you can be Megal. So Moshe assumes that way, that even if you know that this Kesan Pachas Mikigris Kedi Gufa, but you still have the right to be Megal with Kulas Samim, irrespective of any correspondence to a contemporary Macholas. That's what the Rishash writes as well, on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis. And that's what the Darkei Tshuva writes, the Munkacher, actually the Darkei Tshuva in Hilchos Nida, which is the last line of the Darkei Tshuva, was the next generation, the Minchas Elazar's son, I think, oversaw that volume. The Darkei Tshuva, Siman Kuf Tzad Yisakat Lamed Vav. So he writes, Pashahu, Tafilu Bibnos Malachim, Ushar mifunakim gedolim. Even when it comes to the very spoiled women, shagufa nebigdei and mitasa nekiyim ubedukin mikol shemetz lichlof uzia, that there never be any foreign substance on their beds. Still, you can be made of alchas mikagris because Xera was lo nemra in that shear. Sidrei Tara's machmer. This Sidrei Tara in Sifkat and Samach Aleph. Again, based on that previous discussion of Vaday Migufa below Bargasha. If you're Machmir on Vaday Migufa Shalo Bargasha, then you'll be Machmir on Pachos Mikigris if there's no Macholas to connect it to. But the Rov Poskim assume that we're Mekel Kulach Samim, even Vaday Migufa, if it is Pachos Mikigris. And that's assuming that there's this blanket carve-out of Pachas Mikigris that applies even if you can't attribute it to a Amacholas. Can we go for another 5 minutes? Yeah, okay. So there is a Urayim that may say differently. The question is how you read the Urayim. Urayim Simen Kaf Vav, quoted by the Piskei Tshuva in Sifkatan Tes. So the way we have the Urayim printed says, the Anan Lo Bikinan Shapir Mahu Gris Shelpol. We're not such experts to knowing what a gris is. Okay, so it's not just us. The Urayim also didn't know what a gris was. Hilkach Sarech Lihi Zahir Biksamin Lefi Shikol Hadas. So you have to be nizer in ksamin based on your shikol hadas. She'ein dam ma'acholes upir oshim rabba. Because the dam of lice and pir oshim, let's translate as bedbugs for now, are not that great. So the Lechem is Simla. Lechem is Simla is a Kitzah Shulchan Aruch Sefer on Hilchos Nida. Lechem is Simla in Simla Sivkatan Yud Beis. Simla Sivkatan Yud Beis. And Rabbi Eider writes this as well in chapter 1, footnote 99. So they assume that what the Urayim means to say is that nowadays you have to be Makbid, you have to be Nizer, based on the Macholes Shel Zmanenu. And when he says, we don't know what a gris is, so you have to be nizer b'ksamim l'fi shukil adas she'en dam achos b'rosh rabbi. Means you have to be nizer that you can't be tole something with a shear that's larger than the macholos shel zmanenu, then how much blood would be splattered by crushing a louse b'zmanenu. And the Lechem and Simla says that a bal nefesh should be machmir, should be choshesh for this yirei. However, one could understand the Urayim differently. That's how Rav Avadya understands. Rav Avadya in page Shin Samach Tes, Rabbi Kart page Samach Gimel. And if you look in the super commentary on the classic printing of the Urayim, the Tofos Reim, he explains as follows in Os Ayin Beis, that the Urayim means to say a kula. That because we don't know what a gris is, then you could be mishar even with a bigger bean. And when he says sarach lihizayir, it doesn't mean you have to be nisr in machmir on a smaller shear. It means you have to be nisr that ksamim are knowing bisman hazeh, and not like the Rav HaBezdin. So it doesn't necessarily read as smoothly because the hilkach doesn't really flow so well. It says anulavakina shapir ma gris. We don't really know what a gris is. Therefore, Sarach Lizar. Therefore, you have to be careful to be knowing, to be machmir on summon. If you can't be machmir on summon, irrespective of whether you know there's a shear gris or not. So it's not the smoothest read, but Rav Avadya finds it, is not willing to read the Urayim more kipshuto. And he assumes even the Urayim thinks that you could be tole b'machole, you could be tole b'gris, even if it is larger than the Macholes Shel Zmanenu. A Rav Avadya quotes from Shlomo Kluger, Shiari Tara, and this kind of a Shiurim. So he thinks that you have to follow the Macholes Shel Zmanenu. And there's a Chuvas Maril HaChadosha Simen Sadi Gimel Osvav. Maril HaChadosha Simen Sadi Gimel Osvav. He writes, the Eina Yodeya Me'eza Tan Yishtana Li Didan Shema Ola B'dadcha De Macholas Didan Kitanim Heim Yididhu. Do you think that our Macholas are smaller? Zuminalian Lucha, how do you know? So the footnote there says, Mashmir, that if we did know, so then you would have to recalibrate the shear. So maybe you have a Chuvas Maril, you have a Shlomo Kluger, maybe you have a Urayim that you have to evaluate based on the Macholas Shel Zmanenu, but Rov Achronim assume that's not the case. And whatever the shear gris is, stands, even if it doesn't correspond to a macholes shel zmanenu. What is the shear gris? So this will close. So Ramosha assumes, Yaradeya chela gimel simen nunvav os beis, Yaradeya Fela Gimel Simon and Vav Os Beis, that a shear gris is a diameter of 19 millimeters, which corresponds to a U.S. penny. It's why if you paskin shilas on Maris, you should always have a penny on you. The Lech of the Sibla has a picture of a German coin from 1850 that's the exact same size as our penny. But that seems to be what's mekubal in the United States, that we use a penny as a shear gris. And that's where Rabbi Karp quotes in Eretz Yisrael as well, that most poskim assume that way. Yossi Wachtel, who was a chabur a number of years ago, he pointed out that if you look, and then I saw the Sefer Chokas Magna says this as well, if you look in the first edition of the Nil Staka, in the earlier printed editions of the Mil Staka, the classic printing, he has a picture there of the coin, which he says is a shear gris, which is the size of our penny. But in the first edition of the Mil Staka, it appears with the size of a nickel. That's what the Chokas Man says, that by the Eid of Haredis, they use the size of a nickel, which is larger than a penny. And he also points out there in the Chokas Man that the old Asimon, that none of you remember, we used to have to stick an Asimon into a payphone in Eretz Yisrael, the old Asimon also was 19 millimeters, and that's what they used to use in Yerushalayim as a shear. A nickel is 20 millimeters, that's what they use in the Eid of Haredis. What's a machol shel zmanenu? If we were to be machmir, that a machol shel zmanenu, that you can't be makel more than a machol shel zmanenu. So Rav Avner, Shira Shevet Alevi, Os Aleph over here, quotes that a contemporary louse has a diameter of 5 to 6 millimeters. Although, if you look around the internet, it looks like it's more like 2 to 3 millimeters. And according to zapbug.com, the biggest bed bugs are 4.5 millimeters. Although Rabbi Ezra Schwartz pointed out that whatever the size is, when you crush it, it's got to be in the spash a little bit more. So you have to add a little bit more for the shear spashes. But if you were to be machmir on a macholoshes banenu, that would be much less than the 19 millimeter standard shear gris. Okay, sorry for going a little overtime. Mitzvah Hashem on Wednesday, we'll pick up and finish off these details of Macholes, and then discuss other nafkamina as to whether the tliya on a Macholes is a standard tliya or is it an absolute karbet.